Hey, if you're hearing that music, you must be hearing, well, at this point, it's the fifth Friday of the month. It's going to be different in the future. We'll tell you more about that, but you're listening to Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, where we take a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host, and we're in for a great time. And with every episode of Spiritual Perspectives, if there's any part you'd like to add into the conversation, or if there's a question that you think is so obvious and I've clearly missed it, you're welcome to join in. The phone number here, we're originating from our flagship station, KEST in San Francisco, simulcast on KESTradio.com, simulcast on ifidknownthen.com, and archived on ifidknownthen.com. You're welcome to join us every time and anytime we do Spiritual Perspectives. And I'll throw in a quick note right now that Spiritual Perspectives is leaving its fifth Friday home. It's going to quit being at the end of the month on Fridays, and instead, in the future, Spiritual Perspectives is going to show up every time there's a fifth Monday in the month. And we're moving from the 8 o'clock hour to the 7 o'clock hour on that fifth Monday. So make a note in your calendar. In fact, you can tune in every Monday from 7 to 8, and then you'll catch Spiritual Perspectives every time there's a fifth Monday. So I told you it's Scout Bartlett. Now we're going to dive right into our show this morning. Right to the heart. Just masterful. How often does one spend an evening of being beautiful entertained, all the while your soul is being nourished? Now, you may find it shocking, but those quotes were actually not about me. They were about our special guest this morning. We have I am so excited because this is a very different format this morning. We have a very, very special guest this morning. Our guest is Julia Wade, who is a classic crossover artist, a vocalist whose work spans many different musical styles, from classical to Broadway to folk to pop, and more importantly, to deep, touching spiritual communication. Julia is so proud. She's just released her newest CD, Solos, and it's a gorgeous new set of songs, perfect for prayer, meditation, inspirational events. It's inspired many because the lyrics are drawn directly from deep and powerful spiritual teachings as written by Mary Baker Eddy, and then set to beautiful, uplifting music by her producer and principal songwriter and more, Peter Link. Solos is a deeply spiritual CD from Julia's 7 years' experience soloing in the Mother Church for Christian Science in Boston, but it's truly offered as a gift to spiritual seekers everywhere. Now, this is where it gets really fun. Julia was born in St. Louis and spent the first 2 years of her life in the Midwest, and then they moved east, and she lived all along the eastern seaboard, New Jersey, Georgia, North Carolina, Florida. And then a little later, they started moving west again. They made it back to Missouri, on to Colorado, and eventually to Northern California, where she finished high school and college. Post-college took Julia to L.A., where she performed and taught as artist-in-residence for 6 years with the Los Angeles Music Center, and then finally headed, as one must, to the Big Apple to continue her career. And that's been where her home base has been since, although she's been moving toward Colorado. She says the whole description of her background and how it flows is, that's easy. I'm a patchwork quilt of many places and ideas. It's foundation of my eclectic evolution as an artist. So we have a fabulous introduction. Ah, there he goes. Now he's got it.
Today is the realization of truths untold, of spiritual transformation. This day begins the revelation of the power.
Everybody, I'd like to introduce you to Julia Wade. Julia, this is everybody. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, everybody, and hello, Scout. Thank you so much for that amazing intro.
Oh, what a treat to have you here. Now, what's really fun that just cracks me up, Scout was born in St. Louis, lived there for about 2 years. My family moved to the East Coast. We worked our way back to the Midwest till I landed back in Kansas City and then in Missouri for my college education and finally ended up in Northern California.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Oh, well, I guess we had families on parallel tracks.
There we go. There we go. It's sweeping us around the country. I love the hook in that song today. To those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings.
Well, you know, that song, and the reason I thought that would be kind of a fun way to lead off to introduce this album, that is the first song that my composer, principal composer Peter Link, wrote for the album. And as you mentioned, the songs take their text or their lyrics from Mary Baker Eddy's seminal work, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And what's interesting about this song was that he took the very first sentence from the preface of Science and Health, which is what, like you said, the hook of the song. And then he expanded on that as a lyricist. And so the hook, to those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings, is written by Mary Baker Eddy. And then the rest of the song is Peter's sense of what that means. It's an expansion of that hook. The rest of the album actually sticks straight ahead to Mary Baker Eddy's words, and this was the bridge song that made him feel like, okay, we can do this. we can really take these very deep iconic statements, and I can set them to music. And so this is a song that really, what I did was I went to him and I said, I think we should do this. And he said, whoa, you know, I'm a lyricist, and setting music to prose that doesn't necessarily stick to an iambic meter or, you know, to a rhythmic way of doing things, he said, I don't know if I can do that. But he discovered in the process of writing Today that he absolutely could, and it completely blew open a new way of writing for him. So it's been a really, really exciting project on every level.
Well, I'm really curious, Julia, how did you decide to name this CD just Solos?
Oh, that's a great question. This project started as a result of my work for 7 years as the soloist at the international headquarters of the Christian Science Church, which we refer to as the Mother Church. It's the hub church, essentially, of the Christian Science religion, and all the other churches are considered branch churches. So I was at the center of this, this international center, for 7 years, singing and serving as the soloist in all of the worship services. And because I'm called a soloist, and because the songs that I sing are inspirational and sacred songs, they're also referred to as solos, because within the Christian Science Church, the music that's presented on a vocal level is a solo voice within the service. The choir, you could, in one sense, say, is actually the congregation, because we sing a lot of hymns during the service, 3 hymns throughout the service. So that distinguishes that this is the solo portion of the service. And so as this project was born, and because we really, and I say we because my partner is my producer and songwriter, Peter Link, we really felt that we wanted to give something that would be very tangible and of service, you know, as a result of my work and inspiration, and of course his work and inspiration, because we work together so closely. And so we really wanted to offer this gift of these songs, using Mary Baker Eddy's words, to the worldwide congregation of the Christian Science Church. But we also wanted it to go way beyond that, to any sincere seeker of truth, you know.
Yes.
And so these really became These were written with the intention of being used in churches all over the world as solos for the worship services.
Ah,
hence the name. The title.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. I totally agree with Lori Lawson of Electronic Link, and one of the things she said was soprano Julia Wade takes you to that inspirational journey with a voice so clear and pure, there's no room for doubt about her belief in the message and its source. So you're presenting as a singer, you're presenting within lyrics, song, and music, and yet, Julia, there's way more that you're clearly trying to do than just, you know, got a good gig and you sing well.
Definitely. And thank you for mentioning that. I think of singing, you know, whatever we do in life, it's an expression, it's an outward expression of our inner journey. And I think of that journey as a spiritual journey. And so for me, singing is it's my opportunity to communicate what I feel deeply about and what I want to share with others. And my job is, if I am deeply committed myself as a performer, as an artist, as a spiritual singer, if I'm deeply committed to what I'm singing, to the message of what I'm singing, then I'm doing my job so that the listener, whether they're in the congregation, or they're listening to a CD, or they're an audience member in a concert that I'm giving, if I'm doing my job to communicate in as deep a fashion as I know how to, that gives them the opportunity to be just as committed as a listener and to write their own stories, in terms of how that music and those lyrics are affecting them and communicating to them and uplifting them or even healing them. I always say that with music, it's an opportunity to heal. And healing can mean a zillion different things. It can be as simple as turning somebody's thought from the negative to the positive. Or it can be something that, you know, if I'm singing a song by, you know, with words from Mary Baker Eddy, deeply spiritual words, or something from the Bible, or a lyric that is just really inspiring, the combination of that music and those words have the power to affect somebody so that they change their thought and perhaps change their life, or they experience even a physical healing, something that, you know, So what it is that I'm doing, that we're doing, and I say we because when I'm on the stage or on the church platform, it's a crowded platform because there's the composer, there's the lyricist, there's maybe the source materials that the lyrics came from, there's my musician or musicians, and there's me. Now, you don't see all those people necessarily, but they've all contributed to make this wonderful, inspired work. To come forth. So it's not about me so much. It's about all of us being transparencies for the message, the truth, the healing wind to come through, you know, and be shared with everybody there that day, whether they're on the internet or in the room, or, you know, they happen upon it, even looking at it in print, you know.
Yeah. We've actually titled this segment Healing Music, an Inspirational Voice Meets a Spiritual Thinker. And there's a place here, you've hit so many topics, it's as if you've been listening to our show for years. I love that. People will think I know something. It's very cool. One that I want to touch on, though, that you're making very, very clear is a piece that I bring out a lot. Is there's that popular phrase out there, particularly in the communities of personal growth and human expansion, of whether or not somebody walks their talk. And I find myself twisted around in that one because I recognize I do not walk my talk. I talk my walk.
I love that.
And you clearly sing your walk.
That's my endeavor. Always, definitely. You know, when there's so many different elements that go into presenting a work of art, whether it's visual or oral in our case, you know, or even both in the case of movies and videos and things. There's so many different layers that go into creating that and bringing that to the point of putting it out in the world. And in my case, it's at the point of either recording it or performing it live. And I find that as I take on a song, and prepare it, it's a deep process of finding out how I'm responding to the music, how I'm responding to the words, and then once I've kind of understood that, and I always say that if people say to me, "What's your favorite song?" I always feel like an artist who's being asked, "What's your favorite color?" It's kind of impossible.
This one.
To say that, I always say that my favorite song is the song that I'm doing in the moment, you know, because there's so much to be shared with each song. And I always also say that if I'm going to sing something, I have to be totally in love with it. Mm. And sometimes I have to sing things that I think, well, I don't know if I really get this. So my preparation is to go on the journey of discovery, searching and discovering and finding what it's all about. And so by doing that, I find out within the song what the story is for me. I find out, well, who am I really talking to in this song? And mm-hmm. and who am I in this song? You know, we all have many versions of ourselves. We all have, in the sense that, sometimes a song can be a reflection of how we feel when we're praying sincerely and over a really difficult problem. And sometimes that song communicates what I can't myself communicate.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity to dive deep into to finding out where the solution is, because the words and the music combine to help me express what I'm feeling. And if that's true for me, then my prayer is that it's true for someone out there in the congregation or the audience or the listening, listening to a podcast or listening to a CD, that they're going to find a way that music reflects maybe how they're feeling and then leads them to find solution to whatever challenge they're facing. I don't know if that was clearly stated.
You know, the heart was so clearly there, I think the words just sort of wrapped over it. Absolutely. Normally, we'd actually break away with our bumper music, but let me just say, quote, right to the heart, just masterful musicianship, refined, pure, magical. Spoken by Julie Gold, the songwriter of From a Distance. Kwong, if you could give me our second track, which is track 3 from the CD.
The enslavement of man is not legitimate. It will cease when man enters into his heritage of freedom, his God-given dominion over the material senses. The enslavement of man is not legitimate. Mortals will someday assert their freedom in the name of Almighty God. Dropping their present beliefs, they will recognize harmony as the spiritual reality. From the belief and dream of material living is the life divine, revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. The psalmist said, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet."
That was actually from Dominion. The enslavement of man is not legitimate. It will cease when man enters into his heritage of freedom, his God-given dominion over the material senses. If the mind was first chronologically, is first potentially, and must be first eternally, then give to mind the glory, honor, dominion, and power everlastingly due its holy name. Yep. I do want to let you know that you're listening to Spiritual Perspectives from our flagship station, KEST, in San Francisco. This is Scout Bartlett. We're simulcasting on KESTradio.com as well as on IfI'dKnownThen.com. We'll be archived on IfI'dKnownThen.com. Our guest is Julia Wade. Sorry to break that up a little bit, Julia, but there's a whole lyric in there, and that's a piece you said as you really study to understand this. I know this is coming directly from the science of spirituality, is written by Mary Baker Eddy. But if the mind was first chronologically and is first in potentiality, what are we talking about there when we use the word mind? Because it's certainly not the conscious mind that I have running around gathering data from my external surroundings and believing it to be true.
Absolutely. In Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, the author of her textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, chose to create synonyms for the word God. So in this sense, mind here is capitalized to indicate that it's another word, it's another mm-hmm. way to see God, to understand God. You know, if you think about God as being the creator of all, and we can all define what that means to our own sense of understanding. I don't personally think that God is a man or a guy or a woman or a person, but is I like to use the word force, an ever-present power. Also, the one consciousness that we all emanate from or come from. So, mind is a way to describe God to ourselves. So, in this sense, mind is the grand creator. And there can be no power except that which is derived from mind, from God. Another word that Mrs. Eddy employs all the time is the word good for mind, so, or for God. So there can be no power except that which is derived from good, from mind, from God, from love, with a capital L. So God can be described in many ways, and she employs essentially seven synonyms that she uses interchangeably throughout her writings to remind us that God is so much infinitely more than our conception as humans.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me back around to a word that you used earlier. One of the things that we've done on a couple of our programs, we point out that healing should not be reserved for disease. But that healing is really about, I'll phrase it, that healing is really about bringing more energy or more life force flow into a system, or in this case, a person, than what they're able to generate for themselves. But it's very clear that you also have a sense of healing as you transmit it when you're intentionally doing so within your music and within your context and then within your own personal life practices.
Absolutely. Healing is really kind of the result, in a way, of the process that you just described. I mean, it's sort of the outer, it's sort of the tip of the iceberg, I think. It's the result. But what's going on, what's going on beneath the tip of the iceberg is what I like to think of as a revolution of thought. A change of base, a change. It's a change. If there's something blocking one's life, or if there's a problem that is so enormous that, you know, you don't know what to do, the first place I always go to is in my own thinking, to get really quiet, to get really still, and to try to prepare my being, my consciousness, my thought, to receive that change, to make a change, to transform. If I'm feeling really negative about something, the first thing I can do is change my thinking about it. You know, find the blessing, or find even the silver lining in whatever's going on that is difficult. So healing comes to me. I'm saying to myself, I think of healing as the solution. So whether it's a physical problem, or it's a financial problem, or it's an emotional problem, and you know, we can all fill in the blanks with our lives. Whatever is blocking us, or you know, standing up so tall that we can't get around it, or we can't see our way. Well, we may not be able to see it with our eyes, but we can get an inner message, an inner insight as to maybe how to proceed. And so often, as we change our thinking, and you know, what changes it? Well, I think that it's divine messages. The Bible talks all the time about the still small voice, and I think that's inherent within each and every one of us. I think that's sort of part of our human makeup, that we come with this absolute ability to tap in to those little silent messages that come to us. And I think of that as angel thoughts, or the Christ, you know, telling me what I need to know about myself, about God, about my relationship. And by hearing those and receiving those thoughts, those messages, that's where the change starts. And that's where the solutions start to come, and healing ensues.
Perfect. Perfect. That makes so much sense. That's just so eminently clear. There's a piece here, it's really fun, in doing research in the background, I've got quotes from the Mercury News, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Mercury. You built a name. But there's one here that I really, this is from Being Present, and it was an interview show that you were part of, a Tuesday New Morning show. And there's a quote here that says, Watchfire music artist Julia Wade, her ideas on staying present enough to be a clear window for what the divine is doing raises the bar for all of us. How intelligent is her practice of stillness moments throughout the day as a way to reignite that high goal? Now, I've been talking a lot lately, pointing out to people that there's a small meditation that I teach that they can do every time they're waiting. If you're waiting for the train, if you're waiting for the microwave, if you're waiting in line at the store, if you're waiting while the cashier gets ready, if you're waiting for the hot water in the shower, you can just make it a practice to kick into these little meditations. And I have a feeling we've got an overlap here, perhaps, in terms of your practice of stillness moments. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think that we all have such busy lives filled with so many things going on, and that sometimes it's hard to get that quiet moment. I know that I work on that all the time, because our plates get so filled up with stuff to do and places to be and all that. And like you say, it doesn't have to be that way, because whatever you're doing, you can get still. You can get quiet. And you spoke a lot about just now about waiting in line, or waiting at the gas station, or the grocery store, et cetera. And I've always felt that word wait is a very underrated verb. Because, you know, I think most of us think that waiting is kind of a passive, non-active activity. And yet, to wait is a verb. Okay?
Yes.
So waiting is actually can be a very deep and active activity. And waiting, if we're waiting for things to happen, we're also in those moments being very expectant. It's an opportunity to get still in that waiting moment between activities, or, you know, in the line at the cash register. It's an opportunity to just get really quiet in thought, in consciousness. You know, even if, you could be at a big stadium watching in New York, it's all about watching the Yankees. But so you could be in the stadium and watching your favorite sports team and waiting for something to happen on the field. And everybody's screaming and yelling and just getting so excited. But you could still have the most sacred, quiet moment sitting in all that noise, because we all have the privacy of our own consciousness, of our own thinking, of our own thought. And within our thought, we have the ability to get still. One of my favorite and most used Bible verses for me in my daily walk is, be still and know that I am God. And there's another one that's like it, which is, be still and know that I am with thee. And whichever one you use, I love both of them, because it's an instant reminder that I'm not alone, that there is solution or quietness or whatever it is we're seeking right here, right now.
Yes.
And I love that. I love that. You know, I believe it was the prophet Elijah who went off on a journey, and God was talking to him. This is, you know, one of the Bible stories, and said that he got stuck in, you know, a major storm, earthquake, fire. All these things came around him, and it always said in the story that, but God was not in any of those things. Point being that God was only where his thought was. And so after all those major things came by, then and Elijah didn't buy into any of that, and then he heard the still small voice, which to me translates to, he was able to get quiet enough to be still enough, even in the middle of all that stuff raging around him, to realize that that wasn't God, you know, trying to send him some messages. He got the real messages in a very quiet, still way.
I want people to hear what we're talking about. I'm having the privilege this morning of talking with Julia Wade. Let's just listen for a moment.
The crude creations of mortal thought must finally give place to the glorious forms which we sometimes behold in the camera of divine mind. When the mental picture is spiritual and eternal, as mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous subjects of creation, which before were invisible, will become visible when we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter. This understanding will expand into self-completeness, no other consciousness, no other consciousness.
That is Julia Wade. Oh, that just gives me chills. Julia, one of the questions we always ask on the Spiritual Perspectives program is about what it means to you, that singular verb prayer. And I know that in your CD Solos, you actually have a song of prayer, that God is not moved by the breath of praise to do more than he's already done, nor can the infinite do less than bestow all good. So I know that you've studied prayer, and I know you've studied prayer within yourself, but I really want to know, outside of your singing, what does that verb mean, to pray or prayer?
Well, I love that question. Again, I think to pray is, again, a verb. It's a very active verb, and it can mean to me a lot of things as I go about my day, but the most important thing is that it's an action. So to pray for me is to get centered. To pray is to get still. To pray is to do that which you are impelled to do in any given moment. I think it also is reflected in the small everyday acts that people do to help each other. A prayer could be helping a neighbor to take out their trash, you know, picking up that $20 bill that fell out of the pocket of somebody walking in front of you on a busy street and returning that money to them rather than pocketing it yourself. I don't know, it's just all those little actions that add up to a life well lived on any given day, and perhaps every day. I think praying is living your life to the best of your ability, with joy, love, reverence. You know, we all fill in the blanks of what it means to live to our highest sense. And it's also can be as deep as we've been talking about today, as getting to that still point in our inner thinking, in our inside our thought, to receive the divine messages, the angel thoughts. Another way that I like to think of it is the Christ coming to my thought and leading me, telling me what I need to do next. And then the outer action, helping somebody or just smiling at somebody because they look like they really need a smile. That to me is prayer in action. And then receiving all of that, you know, maybe I'm the person with the big problem walking down the street. Somebody just looks me in the eyes and I just get that they see me as I truly would like to see myself in that moment. And that's prayer in action to me. It's totally reciprocal. It's love reflecting love. It's being. It is being. Prayer is being, which is another action verb for me. But I guess what we're talking about today are verbs, are the things that we do to live a higher life.
Mm-hmm. I love this, and people are going to have to go find, they can find you online, Julia Wade. The latest CD is Solos, and all of your work is produced through, there it is.
Watchfire Music.
Watchfire Music. My brain tried to give me Wildfire Music, and I knew that wasn't it. All through Watchfire Music. The lyrics in Mind's Camera, because I have to say, I looked at the title on that one and went, huh? The crude creations of mortal thought must finally give place to the glorious forms which we sometimes behold in the camera of divine mind. When the mental picture is spiritual and eternal, as mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous, which I think Peter has to be the only songwriter that's ever used multitudinous.
True.
But as mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous objects of creation, which before were invisible, will become visible. The crude creations of mortal thought must finally give place to the glorious forms which we sometimes behold in the camera of divine mind, when the mental picture is spiritual and eternal. You have to have studied this song a lot to be able to make it give the chills it gives when you sing it, because the lyrics are complex. I want you to talk to me about Mind's Camera.
Sure. If you think of the fact that when you look through a camera, the camera is seeing what you see,
mm-hmm.
right? It's recording what you see. So if you think of what is mind seeing, and how can I see what mind sees, or better yet, ask the question, what does mind want me to see? And so if I'm confronted with, let's say in this moment, a physical problem, if I'm confronted with a rash or something that shows up on my body and that's very disturbing, I can go back to the idea of, does mind really see this problematic thing that I know that that wasn't created by God, you know?
Ah.
How can I see what God sees in place of what I'm seeing? Well, so my job then is to, again, go back to that idea of getting still and listening, or maybe, we talk a lot about listening, but maybe viewing, getting as clear in my thoughts so that I can actually see through the scary rash or whatever it is that's wanting to make me fearful, and instead replacing that picture with what it is that God knows and sees and understands about me. And, you know, the Bible talks so much about God created man in his image and likeness. And, you know, we use the in his, but you could say in hers, or you could say in its, however you want to use the wording. Our words are poor symbols, I think, sometimes for what's being expressed, the essence of what's being expressed. So
you still have to admire a songwriter that can use multitudinous, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's Mary Baker Eddy at her most musical and text all at once, or prose and music, prose and poetry all at once.
I admire Peter for being able to make that work.
Well, you'll have fun talking to him one day, because that was a real journey for him
mm-hmm.
to be able to do that, and how the melodies and things came to him. But to just finish this thought, I think that's another way of praying, which is to search and discover what mind or God, love, is knowing, seeing, hearing, feeling about his, her creation, which mm-hmm. includes me, mm-hmm. and does not include, that thing that tried to show up on my body. You know, because we are, if we see ourselves, see, I'm using the word see, if we see ourselves as God sees us, and I'm saying that in the spiritual sense, then there is no room for that which does not belong, for that which is imposing itself on my harmonious life, on my ability to live healthy and in harmony. So I love this idea of Mind's Camera. It's the opportunity to open our thoughts, to open our mental horizon, our mental perception, to a much larger, much bigger, much truer view than what we're often presented with.
Mm-hmm. I've had the privilege to talk with Dr. Lawrence Doyle a couple of times, who's internationally known as a scientist, internationally known as a scientist, but also considers himself a spiritual scientist. And Lawrence made mention of the fact of stepping out of the preconceived notion of our regular senses and stepping into what's real.
Absolutely. I have to tell you that Lawrence is a long, long time friend of mine. I've always loved learning from him, because he's so schooled in things that I'm not schooled in, and he always makes me feel like when he explains some high concept in physics or astrophysics, I feel like I get it. And I love his ability to communicate very complex ideas and boil them down to simpler ideas that people like me can actually get.
I feel exactly the same.
Yeah. I'm always grateful for his explanations. But he does touch on a really important point, which is that in a way, you know, the old adage, seeing is believing. Well, I've often thought about the idea that to reverse that, we don't see because we have eyes. We have eyes because we see. I love flipping that around because it reminds me that life is spiritual first, and then everything else is an expression or an objectification or a manifestation of what we're thinking. Sorry for that crash in the background.
That's always exciting.
And so the spiritual senses, you know, so we can apply that to this idea of mind's camera. When we talk about what mind is seeing, the lyric that comes from Mary Baker Eddy, she says, the crude creations of mortal thought must finally give place to the glorious forms which we sometimes behold in the camera of divine mind. Well, I don't think those forms are things that we're seeing outside of our thought necessarily. You know, they're mental pictures. And then she goes on to say, when the mental picture is spiritual and eternal, so we behold glorious forms, glorious, and I like to say glorious ideas. We behold, we see, we understand ideas because we've drawn ourselves close to God, to mind. We've aligned ourselves in our thought with the one mind. And so when we prepare our thought, when we get to that place of being so quiet and being open to a much higher and certainly often unexpected solution or perception, that's when we experience what I like to call glimpses of reality. And I love the idea that we're really trying to turn the glimpses into longer moments and string those into, you know, a continual sense of reality, of understanding what really is and living that and experiencing that.
Yes. I'm going to just interrupt. I'm going to add in. I want to give appreciation to the First Church of Christ Scientist in Mill Valley. They've brought the program to you today, and they've brought Julia Wade to you today as well here, and they invite you to their services Sundays and Wednesday evenings. They also invite you to explore spirituality.com. And we want to remind you that we're coming out of our flagship station, KEST, in San Francisco, simulcast on KESTradio.com and on IfI'dKnownThen.com. And you can find this program archived to share it with your friends on IfI'dKnownThen.com. Which brings me around to a piece I want to talk about. And we'll talk about it, and then we'll share the combination of Mary Baker Eddy, Peter Link, who is Julia's partner and the composer for this album, and Julia will share it all together as it presented his music. But in her song, Beauty, there's a concept here that says the recipe for beauty is to have less illusion and more soul. It is love, love which paints the petal. It is love with the myriad of hues, glances in the warm sunbeam, arches in the cloud, with the bow of beauty, blazons the night with starry gems and covers the earth with loveliness. I talk a lot about love, and I talk about love as being the experience we have when our own energy or our own aliveness or our own pure essence is flowing. And in this song, Beauty, you're talking about it takes love, the recipe for beauty, is to tune into that, our own aliveness, our own essence, those glimpses, and bring them together to be a longer and longer view. somehow I have a hunch that as you prepared that song, Beauty, you went through some transformations to study it and to make it give the chills it gives. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The love that's mentioned in the song is, again, a capitalized word which refers to God. So God is love, is the ultimate love, right?
I think we're quoting the Beatles there.
Yeah. There you go. And I love the fact that, think about it, how beautiful does a person become to you when you love them, when you get to know them, when they become your friend? And they might not necessarily, you know, appear in the very narrow band of what mainstream media often describes, in, you know, as beauty. You know, they may be absolutely the opposite of that. But beauty is an expression of love, and therefore beauty is expressed in an infinite number of ways. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of like what we were saying before about Mind's Camera, that no matter what picture is presented to us in persons or in problems or in disasters across the world, natural disasters or whatever it is, we have to ask ourselves, is that the picture that I'm going to accept about that person or that situation or about myself? Or instead, am I going to follow this recipe and explore what it means to have less illusion and to have more soul, which again is a capitalized word, and have more sense of God in my life, whatever that means, to each one. And then she goes on to say that comeliness or beauty and grace are independent of matter. And beauty is a thing of life. And it dwells forever in the internal mind. And it reflects the charms of his goodness in expression, form, outline, and color. Well, all of those are essentially, all those four things, expression, form, outline, and color, can be manifested or seen or understood in an infinite number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So this lyric has taught me further that my job is to see as love sees, or to hear as love hears, to literally align myself as so deeply that I am one with love. And I am doing nothing but expressing love and seeing love and feeling love and being filled with love. And you can't fall when you get so filled up with that concept. And then how I'm seeing people outside, or they're seeing me, is a result of following that recipe, per se.
I loved that phrase, to see as love sees, to hear as love hears. That's absolutely beautiful. Kwong, have we got that clip? Let's go.
The recipe for beauty is to have less illusion and more soul. The recipe for beauty is to have less illusion and more soul. Comeliness and grace are independent of matter. Beauty is a thing of life, which dwells forever in the eternal mind, and reflects the charms of his goodness in expression, form, outline, and color. It is love, love which paints the petal. It is love with myriad hues, glances in the warm sunbeam, arches the cloud with the bow of beauty. Blazons the night with starry gems and covers earth with loveliness.
Mary Baker Eddy, Peter Link is composer, but also keyboards on that song, but most of all, Julia Wade. Hearing with love as love hears, seeing with love as love sees, and in this case, singing as love sings. Julia, I have to, as I went through the music and got prepared, it felt as if, even more than just the fact our histories overlap, you radiate such a warmth through everything you do. I could feel as if we were friends already. What a delight it's been to get to chat with you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'd also like to thank the Mill Valley Church, the First Church of Christ Zionist, for sponsoring this and bringing this forward. And it's such a joy to get to share these ideas within the music and in our conversation. And I just love what you're doing, Scout. I think it's very, very relevant and very important that you're, on a weekly basis, exploring these spiritual concepts and how they apply to our daily lives. And that's, that's my hope for this music, that it can be a help meet for people, that it can help people to define their sense of spirituality to themselves, to their own consciousness. And I find that music often helps to kind of slow down the thought process so we can really just get into it and get the meanings that we need for healing in our lives. And if anybody's interested in this album, you can get it at watchfiremusic.com. And if the faster way to remember it is to go to juliawade.com, that's fine too, because you'll be directed immediately to the right place to download the music or get the hard copy CD.
Thanks. Yep, absolutely. And it truly is a delight to just to have it in your collection and to have the music. Julia, thanks again so much. And as she said, it's Julia Wade, WADE.com, or watchfiremusic.com. And this has been Spiritual Perspectives. This is Scout Bartlett thanking you for joining us now and reminding you that in the future we'll be on the fifth Mondays. But most of all, do me a favor. Treat yourself as a loved one, because you truly are. And no matter where on earth you are, it's a perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose.